got this in Genesis. It is so cool to know this stuff, isn't it? I mean, how many people know this stuff? It's just so interesting that God is whispering his secrets to us. And he's a technical God. He has all these different titles and assumptions that mean different things at different times. And it's not a vast mystery. He's revealing it to us. It's like peeling layers off of himself and showing us himself. And I just love how he does this. And I'm excited about it today. I'm excited to share it with you. So I told you I was going to go to Genesis, and he calls himself Elohim, like over and over again in chapter 1. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Again, sorry, I'll try to slow down. This is the God of place. This is the placer. This is the subjector, the one who does everything and who creates the stage of earth. He created the heaven and the earth, and the spirit of Elohim was vibrating over the surface. Not Yahweh, Elohim, Elohim. He saw the light, it was good, and Elohim said, let the atmosphere come. On and on in Genesis chapter 1. Let's see, I'm scrolling through here. Sorry, I lost my... Okay, yeah, and then Elohim said, let the land be verdant. That's verse 11 of chapter 1. Verse 14, and Elohim said, let luminaries come to be in the atmosphere of the heavens to separate between the day and the night, that they may be for signs. And Elohim was the one who made two great luminaries. That's a pretty good trick to make the sun and the moon. The great luminary for ruling the day, the smaller luminary for ruling the night, and also the stars. My friend Dan Sheridan has pointed that out, and he also made the stars. He just kind of offhandedly says that. That's Elohim, friends. And he made the stars. If I had made just one star, I would be quacking about it for weeks. Did you see that star I made? I'd be taking people on a tour of the observatory and showing them that's my star. He makes all the stars, and he says it in one sentence, and he moves on. He makes the larger luminary for the day, the smaller one for night, and also the stars. And Elohim placed them in the atmosphere. Just so, like, yeah, okay, he made the stars. Excuse me? Made the stars? Elohim placed them in the atmosphere. Elohim does all this. Elohim said, let water swarm. And down we go. And then in verse 24 of Genesis 1, Elohim said, let the earth bring forth the living soul. This is why the word God in the King James Version and in your common English versions is so lame, because they don't distinguish between all these great titles. You know, El Shaddai, Jehovah, Elohim, we'll just say God. You miss all the distinctions. Elohim said, let the earth bring forth a living soul, each according to his kind. Then Elohim said, this is epic. Pay attention in verse 26. Let us make humanity in our image. Now pay attention. He's going to, quote, make humanity, quote, again, unquote, later. But he doesn't make it again. We're just seeing him from a different perspective. Let them hold sway. So Elohim created humanity in his image. In the image of Elohim, he created it. Male and female, he created them. He blessed them. Gave them all the seeds, all of it. Now, chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all their host. On the sixth day, Elohim finished his work that he had made, and he ceased on the seventh day from all his work that he had made. So it's all done, right? It's all finished. And Elohim blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, for in it he ceased from all his work. These are the chronological records of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that Yahweh Elohim made the heavens and the earth. Verse 4 of chapter 2. Now, for the first time, we're introducing Yahweh, Jehovah, the Lord God, as we would say. He's not called Yahweh only, but it's attached to Elohim. So then in verse 7 of chapter 2, Yahweh Elohim formed the human out of the soil. Wait a minute, he already did that. In chapter 1, he already formed the human, and he's already resting from his labor, stopping from his work. Now we see Yahweh Elohim formed the human out of the soil. Why are we rehearsing the same creation process? Because now we're seeing it from the perspective of the time God, the one who is going with us through this. And it's attached. See, both of these are in the same person. I love this. Yahweh Elohim. It's attaching this nice part to the powerful God, this personal savior and friend, to the placer who made the stars. Yahweh Elohim formed the human. You see, now we're seeing a more intimate relationship. Before he created the human, placed the human in the garden, now he forms the human out of the soil. Who does this? Yahweh Elohim. And blew in his nostrils. And then Yahweh Elohim planted a garden in Eden. Before he just made a garden, made the plants, made the trees. Now he's planting a garden. See? He's more intimately relating. And then Yahweh Elohim made sprout from the ground. It's more intimate. All through here, Yahweh Elohim, verse 15 and 16. Yahweh Elohim instructed the human, saying. So now we have a conversation happening between God and Adam and Eve, but not God the creator, but rather God the time God. And on it goes in chapter 2. Now here's the cool thing. That's cool enough, I'll admit to you. But when you break down this word introduced to us, this title of God introduced to us in Genesis, Yahweh or Jehovah, we find that it consists of three parts. And I said, this is the time, God, this is why. This word means this, Yahweh, W-H-Y-H. The poor Jews can't even pronounce this name. I have no problem with it. It means will, being, was. Will, that's part one of the word, being, part two, and was, part three. Will speaks of the future, being speaks of the present, and was speaks of the past. Will, being, was. That is the name of Yahweh. That is what it means. Will, being, was. That's why I say it's a time name. He's got it all knocked down here. Past, present, and future. Except he puts it in the order of future, present, and past. Will, being, was. That's because the prophets continually call him Jehovah because they're always looking forward to what he's going to do in the future. So they put the will first. You see that? Will, being, and was. This is the order of the Hebrew. But interesting, when we come to the unveiling of Jesus Christ, the order is reversed. This is fascinating. And there's a reason for this. As I said, the prophets who were dimly distant, we're going to talk about the prophets, from that day, they looked ahead and they put the will first, the being, and then the was. But now look at the unveiling, chapter 1, the unveiling of Jesus Christ, the book of Revelation. Look with me at chapter 1, verse 4. John, to the seven ecclesias which are in the province of Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is coming. He puts the is first. The is. Who is? So he puts the being that was supposed to be in the middle. He puts it at the beginning. Who is and who was and who is coming. So it's more immediate now. He's with them. Now, he's moving among the ecclesias, Jesus Christ is, who is and who was and who is coming. That's interesting. It's significant. It's not just interesting. I'm sorry I used that word. It's profoundly interesting. It's significant to know because now, as I told you, God is coming into humanity. Now, this title is mixed up again. No man would dare do this. You take this name of God that is will, being, was, future, present, past, and you're messing with it. John is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he mentions him who is. Now I'm going to go to Revelation. Let's start with Revelation 11, starting with verse 15. And the seventh messenger trumpets, and loud voices occurred in heaven, saying, the kingdom of this world become our Lord's and his Christ's. This is the epic moment. Can't wait to get here and break this down in detail. When there's a moment when the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord's and his Christ's, and he shall be reigning for the eons of the eons. You know what that means now. The eons of the eons. He's going to be reigning for the next two eons, not the previous three. He's not reigning then. He's going to be reigning in the next two eons, the eons of the eons. And the 24 elders who are sitting on their thrones before God fall on their faces and worship God, saying, we are thanking thee, Lord God Almighty, who art and who was, that thou hast taken thy great power and dost reign. Who art and who wast. I hate this King James language. Don't know why they used it in the Concordant version. But look at this. Who art, who is, present, being, and who was. the third part of this, the future, is not even mentioned, because the future that all the prophets were looking forward to is now past. All the prophets looked forward to this coming one who would take power, and now it has happened. And because it has happened, the last part of this title of God, Yahweh, is dropped off. I should say the first part. The will being was, they've gotten rid of the will completely, and they've called it who is and who was. He is and he was, because the will is being fulfilled. You don't need that. That shows you that this name is completely time-oriented, and it can be manipulated as time progresses, and a third of the title, a third of Yahweh, can be discarded like the stage of a rocket when we reach the, quote, outer space that is the fulfillment of the kingdom. This is just phenomenal. And it happens again in Revelation, unveiling 16:5. And speaking of the third messenger pours out his bowl into the rivers and the springs of water, and it became blood. And I hear the messenger of the waters saying, just art thou who art and who was, who art and who was, who is and who was. And they've completely dropped the will be. That is so cool to know this, to see this. And that this epic name of God, title of God, that the Jews can't even pronounce, is actually manipulated by the Spirit of God and adjusted to suit the time. This tells us that God rolls with it, that God is actually going to do something. And when he does something, he's not going to pretend like it's not done. When he does something, it's no longer the God who will be, it's the God who is and the God who was. And he adjusts his very name to suit the time. I'm telling you, this thing we're looking forward to and that we're studying is going to happen as sure as God's name is Yahweh Elohim.